Well, welcome back to the final session of the day here at Build 2017, day two. I think the most exciting session of the day. I'm here with Vesa Yulvonen and Dan Kogan. Guys, tell us a little bit about yourself and where you fit into the huge organization and perhaps the important piece of the organization that you do, which is SharePoint.
Absolutely. I'll start. So I'm a senior program manager in the SharePoint engineering. I work in the Splat team, essentially responsible of the SharePoint framework and, all up the SharePoint development platform.
I'm Daniel Kogan. I'm a group program manager in SharePoint here in Redmond, and my team owns all of the SharePoint development framework as well as the new web parts.
That's fantastic. You guys have been really busy today. I think you said this was your fourth time you've been talking about the SharePoint framework just today. Tell us a little bit about what you're talking about at Build.
So we're talking about the new announcements around the SharePoint framework. So we did GA, SharePoint framework, mid-February, roughly, so 2 months ago. And now we're heading again with the new release, which is heading to dev preview pretty soon. So we don't have an exact date with new capabilities and new extensibility endpoints, which will be then available for the SharePoint framework developers. And
basically, really, the Build conference for us has been all about reminding people that we GA'd not too long ago, and so they should be using it. And then some of the new things that are coming down for the SharePoint framework, which are around extensions for the SharePoint framework and part-to-part communications and so on. So it's really about getting people excited on what we've just released and also what's coming down in the next few weeks and months.
So tell us a little bit about extensions, because I think that's a really good place to start.
Yeah, the SharePoint framework extensions are essentially enabling you to embed JavaScript on pages in the modern sites or modern lists within a SharePoint Online. So they essentially give you the capability of customizing the UI experience. We used to have those capabilities in a classic SharePoint, but then when we're hosting customizations in SharePoint Online, we need to be more careful around how do we do those customizations. We've been building this SharePoint framework for addressing that concern.
So now we're down to that. Why do we need to be careful? What do we have to be careful of?
Well, if you are in SharePoint if you are in SharePoint in on-premises, you actually own the farm,
right.
And therefore you can actually do customizations on the farm, and you can do native full trust assemblies running in a farm as well. Now, when we're hosting your SharePoint in the cloud, we cannot actually give you permissions to put your assemblies to our servers.
Right.
So the customization thinking and the customization models are slightly different. Back in 2013, we released the SharePoint adding model and massive amount of additional remote APIs, which is addressing some of these concerns already. But then with SharePoint framework, we are kind of addressing that feedback which we got with adding model, and we're kind of bringing this new customization model, which is more future-proof. We're aligning with the industry standards around the development practices, so using Yeoman templates, open source community tooling. And then I think the really big thing for us as a SharePoint developers is that when you're learning the new way of doing development on top of SharePoint Online, you actually become to be a general web developer as
right.
well.
Yeah. This is a huge thing.
I think a lot of the sort of the value also in the new SharePoint framework is that we haven't really reinvented the wheel. We've sort of brought SharePoint to where a lot of developers were. So people were finding tricky ways to do a lot of what we're doing. And what we've said is, let's give people a way that's supported, that's got a little bit more control, and also that isn't as brittle. Because
right.
this now gives you a way that if you do your customizations, your extensions and things, in a way that we give you guidance, then we can make sure that the next time we do a change in the service, we're not going to break you.
Right.
And that was sort of a lot of the motivation.
Because people certainly were making all sorts of...
Right. People were finding all sorts of creative ways.
This was one of the main people to do it, right?
That's right. If you want to find out what your software can do, is let people play with it.
Right? Yeah, right.
That's right.
Very cool indeed. So that's extensions.
Yeah.
And you also talked about a new part-to-part communication model.
Yes. So as part of the dev preview, there will be part-to-part communications available. So you're able to communicate between the web parts within a page, which is a typical scenario in a classic SharePoint. But now when we went GA with SharePoint framework, we didn't have that capability natively there.
I have to say at the time I was surprised, because this is something that you do in SharePoint all the time. Parts
yes.
have dependencies on the other parts.
Yes.
So how have we implemented that now?
So we start with having a support in the dev preview, having a support from a code perspective, communicating through SharePoint framework between the web parts. So you can raise events between the web parts, and you can pass data objects between the web parts as well. We're looking, obviously, having the end user experience there as well. So those web parts which are implementing the exact same notification, you can connect them between each other within the UI. But we'll start with the code-based implementation, and then the UI will follow up on the end.
And is it a simple approach to do it?
Yes, we can actually quickly show some of that stuff, absolutely. I think we have time to have a look on that. So for the web part connections, just quickly showing the functionality with a quick demo. So I'm going to create an app within my site. This is a modern page within a SharePoint Online. Here we go. Let's give it a name, something like build channel 9, even though I'm not probably even saving the changes on this page. It doesn't really matter. So now I'm adding a customizations on the page. And essentially what you're seeing here is the new web part picker in this modern page experience. There's a lot of native web parts available. But then all of those web parts which you have developed, you can actually get them available within the selection.
I think the other thing to point out here is we build our own experience using the framework, right?
Yes.
So these modern pages, these authoring pages, the web parts that are there, those are all built on top of the same tech that we're asking our community to use.
Absolutely. I think it's another hugely important point.
Correct.
Because it's like classic Microsoft. There was stuff that we released for people to use, and there was stuff that we did internally.
That's right.
That's just not the case.
This
anymore.
Is the way we did it, and this is the way you do it. This is now we do what we ask people to do.
Yeah, exactly.
For the most part.
Yep. Which is great, because then we're getting the learnings, and we'll fix that stuff, and then also we get the it's a win-win for both sides.
Right.
So now on the web parts, there's a one web part. This is listing training classes. So if I do something like forest, there's a managing in forest training class. But when you click that one, you don't actually have sufficient amount of details. So it makes sense to actually add an additional web part, which would be then training details web part. So now when I click an item on another web part, it's going to actually show the details around that
passing
training.
An ID
so
or
it's
something
passing
across.
An ID and an event and the data, needed data to get additional information related on that object. This is a relatively simple scenario.
Classic master detail.
Master detail scenario. And then the detail web part is doing additional queries to go and check how many people are already enrolled to that event. So classic scenario has not been available in SharePoint framework yet, but now it comes to the dev preview. And maybe one thing to mention, which we mentioned today in our breakout as well, right now what you're seeing is the modern page. It has one canvas, and it's just vertical canvas, and we do know that it's something which we need to address, and it's going to be addressed relatively soon as well. Not something what we're announcing in build, but coming.
So we'll put a link to that breakout because it'll obviously be available post down in the bottom of the in the notes.
Yep.
Perfect.
Cool. The other thing what we kind of went through and in our breakout and what was the big announcement is no doubt the extensions. So quickly explaining what the extensions are and what you're getting as part of the dev preview. So probably good to go through this as well. So whenever we get the new version of the Yeoman templates available, you can then have additional templates and extensions available from a Yeoman template. So you run the typical Yo Microsoft SharePoint command. It's going to ask what is your solution, and that's fine. What is the framework? One thing to maybe mention, by default, we have no JavaScript framework, React, and Knockout. But these are just the starting points.
Right.
So what is the framework scaffolding for you? Now, you can absolutely use whatever framework. We are framework agnostic. Internally in Microsoft, you're using React based on a long studies of things and conclusions, which was happening already a while back.
The UI Fabric guys are really into React at the moment. So if you want to use the UI Fabric and use its main bits, then React is a good way to start.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And there's the UI Fabric React components, which will give you the ready-to-use components for you. But you can use other frameworks as well. So now, if I choose an React, I can then choose, do I actually implement a web part or do I implement an extension?
Right.
And this is already a new selection. So if I choose an extension, it will ask me which of these three options do I actually want to create.
Okay.
So three different extensions. Field Customizer, if you're an old SharePoint, let's say, developer, it's same as JS Link. So you were able to essentially do client-side rendering of the field value when you're watching an item in a list. The Field Customizer is doing exactly the same thing. But in a modern way, in a more controlled way, that the solution has to be approved and all of that. So there's kind of this SharePoint framework approval processes behind it.
Right.
List View Command Set Customizer is essentially for adding buttons and executing code with JavaScript when you're clicking a button in the lists, as an example. An Application Customizer is then around embedding JavaScript on all of the pages, for example, inside Collection.
Right.
Classic requirement in SharePoint. We've been in SharePoint PMP, we've been showing multiple ways of doing that, and they're not really future-proof.
Right.
And that's exactly what we want to address then.
Uh-huh.
So I think one of the really interesting things here is you can see we have three extensions. Over time, we imagine having more. We're going to wait and see sort of what our customers are doing, what they're asking for. But the model allows us to, over time, extend it.
Right.
No pun intended. And, you know, this will be available soon. So over the next couple of weeks, people should be able to expect to see the developer preview if you have a developer tenant. So if you have a dev tenant, this will just appear, and you're going to be able to download the new Yeoman templates and get to work.
And of course, if you don't have a dev tenant, go to dev.office.com/devprogram.
If you don't have a dev tenant, you
right
should
now.
Get one if you're listening to this.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's the easiest thing in the world to do. And
that's right.
Just recently, by the way, we've upped the number of mailboxes that come with a dev tenant from 1 to 25, so that makes it really useful if you're doing other Office 365 development as well. Very,
or
very
I would say not just mailboxes, actual accounts, which you can
correct.
Use,
so yes,
can,
yes, indeed. Yes, so very, very
you
good.
At mimic the end-user experience and then add admin experience.
And it makes such a huge difference in their testing and development process. So that's definitely worth checking that one out.
Now, maybe before we actually, if we continue the discussion and other dimensions, if I would show quickly what the extensions can show you and what they actually behave. We don't have to go to the code. We'll come up with the tutorials, videos, and all of that typical stuff, what we do nowadays by providing that guidance immediately when the dev preview starts. But simplistic example, if I go to my class roster, this is a list which is right now showing, for example, the people who have been signing up for a certain training. Right now, there's no confidential fields there, so there's only city and state and nothing really confidential. Now, in this particular scenario, in this particular implementation, we have considered that maybe a phone number is confidential information. So if somebody is lurking behind of your back, you shouldn't be showing that automatically from a screen. So now, if I add any of these confidential fields to this view, so let's actually do that. So let's add emergency contact, emergency phone number, and a phone number to that view, and adding OK. The SharePoint framework extensions are actually put on the page as well. So now SharePoint realizes that, first of all, these fields have a field customizer, which will make them blurred unless you will actually put your mouse over on top of it.
Nice.
Simple customization just based on styling, but still kind of a understandable scenario. The customization could be much more complex. It could be buttons, it could be a map, it could be whatever is needed. You have a full control on that particular section. Now, the second thing what we're seeing...
Sorry, it's essentially a way of rendering that particular field, yeah?
Yes. So what's interesting here is that often people say, I want my content to be shown to my user in a particular way in this business context.
Right.
And so this allows you to override how the field behaves and put your own business logic. We've sort of done a simple example where we said, hey, let's blur it out, mouse over, whatever.
Right.
But you could have it pop up a map, you could have it give a button, and have some. And then the other part, which sort of Vase is going to get to in a second here, is the actual application extension at the top.
Yeah. So the higher section, what you're seeing here in blue, let's see if the zoom works properly. Because we're adding a sensitive information in the scenario, it is actually recognizing that our application customizer running on the site is checking, hey, we're in a list. Oh, this list has custom field instances which have this information. We probably should show this warning around the confidential information.
Right. So the application customization allows you to do things that are more global in scope, right, for the site or for the library or whatever. And then the field one allows you to manipulate what's happening in the field itself. And so we have, these are two examples, and we'll have many more over time, but we imagine this is how people are going to be able to go and do the customization of SharePoint that in some cases has prevented people today from going from classic to the modern experience.
Yeah.
Great. I get that. That's amazing. And it just shows you that progression that's going on. I think that's really cool. Of course, there will always be things that aren't directly available in the framework. And this is where your patents and practices team comes in, right, and breaks new ground. Tell us about PNP.
Well, yeah. So we've been using SharePoint PNP originally as a small grassroots effort. It's been expanding, and we've been able to get other people involved. The whole growth is dependent highly on the community contributions as well. But it's kind of it's amazing how well people are adapting on the thinking of sharing and their code and learnings and experiences, and also sharing code and documentation and helping us to help the community as well. So it's kind of a two-way dimension, a two-way road. We're getting a lot of feedback in engineering nowadays when the PNP is owned by the SharePoint engineering. And then we in SharePoint engineering, we are using the PNP as a channel for providing guidance, videos, community calls, and we have bi-weekly calls for multiple special interest groups and all of that. So we have a lot of activities ongoing, and we want to keep on doing that channel or use the channel in the future as well for SharePoint framework and extend certain sections of it as well, so that people know that they can always go to the certain locations, it's a current data information, they can get latest changes, we'll do tutorials, we'll do webcasts on this stuff as well, and all of that.
That's great. I think that's a huge asset to the community, and obviously
Thank
the
you.
Community is a huge asset to us as well. It's a nice two-way
way. Yes, yes, that's what it's really intended for us also to get the feedback in, and it's been highly successful during the years to get and let engineering to know also the gaps within a product.
And I think you've probably got, you said about 3 or 4 videos a week that people could watch if they wanted to from PNP on various things.
Yeah, so we're releasing a weekly webcast, and then we have 2 bi-weekly special interest groups in different topics, which essentially means that we have a 1 special interest group call in every single week.
Yep.
Then we have a monthly community calls. All of the calls is recorded. You can go to the PNP YouTube channel where you can actually watch what's happening. The webcast, the weekly webcast, they go live always on Monday. Somebody is always asking, why Monday? Well, because nobody else is publishing anything on Monday, because Monday is a horrible day, so we decided Monday.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, but
Monday's easy for you because you're based in Europe, and
yep.
Yeah, you can start early and it can be ready Monday morning first thing, and you've already had your coffee.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
true. Nice.
That's true as well.
And if people want to go and find this stuff, dev.office.com/PNP?
dev.office.com/PNP for the PNP community stuff, dev.office.com/SharePoint for the official developer documentation, which we kind of own as a, well, we do own as a, and we update that through the PNP channel and the PNP initiative as well.
Excellent. So there's one more topic that I wanted to leave for last, because it's something that's fairly near and dear to my heart. The Microsoft Graph. We've seen lots and lots of it here at Build over the last couple of days. It featured heavily in both keynotes. And obviously, the Microsoft Graph and SharePoint are fairly closely linked in lots of ways. So tell us a bit about how SharePoint fits into the Graph and how it's going to be able to talk to the Graph.
You want to do the announcement that we did?
So obviously in Build, we've been doing some announcements around the Microsoft Graph and SharePoint as well. So in Build, one of the announcements was that the SharePoint sites are now, true Graph is now GA'd.
Yep.
So you're able to access the SharePoint sites, and there's documentation in the Graph documentation for all of that as well. That's already a great start. Now, SharePoint Lists is still in a preview. We'll work on getting that one live in the Graph as well. And additional
list items, both in beta,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
And there will be additional capabilities in the future as well. I think we talked about content types and fields and all of that in the Graph specific presentation.
Yeah, I think over time you're going to see more and more, right?
Yes.
For us, it's an important part of the platform. SharePoint, as well as all the other workloads, sort of being able to communicate with and through the Graph. And so It's early days for us. I think SharePoint is still sort of getting rolling when it comes to this, and we only have a few things in there, but it's indicative of the direction that we're going, and we're pretty excited about doing that work. We're going to get a lot of the SharePoint stuff in there, and I think it's going to really open up a lot of scenarios.
True.
The other thing that I think is coming from the other direction, from a SharePoint app, going and calling the graph and getting that additional really rich information out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And having the context that you're in already.
Yeah, that part of it of, you know, consuming other workloads into your SharePoint environment, absolutely, and then making sure that our content and our SharePoint artifacts are available for other contexts.
How easy is it for me to pass my identity into the graph or use my identity to go and call the graph?
And that's one of the new things from this week as well. So we will have, for SharePoint Framework, we'll have a graph client. So you can easily, it will essentially hide you the request for getting the access token, OpenID access token, and then calling the graph. So you'll have that client available in SharePoint Framework in dev preview pretty soon as well. That's going to help on accessing the graph endpoints. We'll start with a small set of scopes, and we'll extend from there.
Right.
We need to understand the behavior as well.
I was going to ask about how you do consent in that.
Yes. Right now, there's no consenting because we want to have that kind of a fluently moving as well.
Right.
So we're looking into, obviously, enabling custom web APIs or third-party scenarios at some point as well. It's in a roadmap, or we've been chatting on that. But we need to start with something so that we're getting the feedback in and absolutely let us know. What do we need to do and get that feedback in for our team as well?
Yeah, I think that's a really important part is the feedback, right? We're going to be releasing our preview, like I said, over the next couple of weeks. And we really are looking for a lot of feedback. We're hoping to get the community and our users to tell us sort of what kinds of extensions would they imagine us delivering? What kinds of things do they intend to do with it? We have a huge open canvas that we could go and tackle because basically it's, we don't do any of this yet. What are we going to do?
Right.
And so we're not going to do it all on day one. And so hearing what people are trying to do, I think, is going to be really important for us.
How are you listening? What are the mechanisms you're using to find that out?
So obviously the user voice, SharePoint user voice, okay. There's a development channel there. That's where we want actually with yeah. the request
if you,
all
yeah,
of
if
the...
If you want to give us feature requests, user yes. voice is the place.
User voice is the number one place.
Every time I do office dev session, I talk about user voice because I've been in a couple of the triage sessions where you're doing feature triage. And user voice is one of those big things
that people
look at all the time.
Yeah. Yes. We'll take bug feedback kind of anywhere.
Right.
But when it's... feature requests, user voice is a place to go because yeah. We look at that, we take that as this is what our community is telling us that they prioritize because there's voting involved.
Right.
It's not just yeah. the loudest person wins, right?
Yeah.
So we take the voting into account and then that goes into our backlog and we figure it out.
Yes, awesome. So user voice for feature requests, Stack Overflow and other places like that for people asking questions.
And Microsoft Tech Community
yep.
For discussions as well. GitHub issue list, SPDevDocs, github.com/SharePoint, SPDevDocs.
Yep.
That's where our development documentation is being surfaced. And that issue list is then being used for also getting input in if people are finding bugs in the SharePoint framework, or they might find a bug in the SharePoint framework, and then we might correct
there are
that.
No bugs.
Yeah, exactly.
There are some features that might need refining.
There's opportunities
yes.
for us to keep improving. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
So look, we're just about out of time. Dan and Vesa, thank you so much for coming along on the end of day two, at the end of what's been a very busy day for you guys.
Yep.
Thank you.
We're finishing up for the day now here at the Washington State Convention Center. We'll be back tomorrow for Build. We'll see you then.
Thank you.